Black Clock Audio Tales, June 2019. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and The Last Man. Brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Check out their brand new Dino Sound slippers. Slippers make a roaring sound every 3 steps, made with green, scaly fabric, soft plush uppers, foam footbeds, non-slip grips on the soles so you don't fall, and 3 white claws on each foot. One size fits most, up to a woman's 10.5 and a men's 9. Footbed measures 10.5 inches. Black Clock Audio Tales is a daily podcast about weird fiction, gothic horror, I don't know, folklore, fantasy, ancient poems of rats and frogs fighting in a Homeric satire. Yeah, we got that too. We got a bunch of Lovecraft. We got a bunch of Robert E. Howard, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. We got it. I mean, we're Black Clock Audio Tales. Look for our podcast anywhere you find podcasts. We suggest Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and why not go to Stitcher? Find us on the web at pgttcm.com and at Black Clock Audio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and Black Clock Audio Tales on YouTube, in case you feel like watching us on YouTube for some reason. Check out People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos on the last Tuesday of this month. I released one today, which is Memorial Day, and it's an episode where Cody Goodfellow talks about how much he loves Shoggoths, and how we're all Shoggoths. That's the takeaway from it. I mean, he's not wrong, according to the People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Anyway, check out the website over at pgttcm.com, edited by D.B. Spitzer, music by Kevin MacLeod. The Chamber, Unseen Horror, The Voices. Produced in Badger's Drift Studio. Find out how to visit and record with us at pgttcm.com. Help support the show by going to paypal.me/pgttcm and donate $1 or $5, or pgttcm/podbean.com and become a patron. Help the show by sharing, rating, liking, or 5-star giving wherever you listen to rate or podcasts. That sentence wrong. Help the show by sharing, liking, or 5-star giving wherever you listen to podcasts. Buy a cool shirt at pgttcm/threadless.com. PGTTCM is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Learn more at darkmyths.org. Here's Rossi Lockhart. And that is Ross, middle initial E, Lockhart, not R-O-S-S-Y. I mean, if that was his name, that would be his name, but I'm just clarifying. Okay. Time to talk some Frankenstein. Okay, today we are here with Black Clock Audio Tales and Ross E. Lockhart from Word Horde, and what else will people know you from?
They might know me from an anthology called The Book of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
It's my first anthology, and it had legs, so
yeah.
They were tentacles. And mostly Word Horde. I write a bit on my own, so you find my rock and roll novella, Chick Bass, out there if you really go digging.
Cool. And we're here today to talk about Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So, what do you have to talk about with Frankenstein there? Because,
well,
yeah.
A couple of years ago, I put together an anthology that paid tribute to Mary Shelley and Frankenstein. It was called Eternal Frankenstein. And brought together a real fun mix of authors to do their own spin on Frankenstein and the mythology we've built around it.
Yeah.
For a book that... what's the best way to put this? For a book that had trouble finding its way at first, and it's a fascinating genesis of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or the modern Prometheus. It's a book that kind of floundered around and then fell out of print and was enjoyed by people but was never a huge commercial success. and then the movies happened.
Yeah.
And it's been in print ever since, and really is regarded as the foundational work of science fiction. And it's just such a good read. From a horror perspective, you know, we hear people convention left and right about found footage in horror cinema.
Yeah.
And Frankenstein's the original found footage novel. It's all just backed up. It's this verisimilitude of document after document, letters, and it just builds itself in such a lovely way.
Yeah. I've got a really nice copy of an audio recording of people, of a particular man reading Frankenstein, and it just, that's the way it strikes me, is it's like someone found a bunch of lost letters, and it's like, I've seen the movies, and I've read bits and pieces, and I've, you know, more or less skimmed it for like the cliff notes for like classes in high school and junior high, but it's like, I really get a feeling that a lot of people think they know Frankenstein, but don't actually know Frankenstein.
Yeah, that was definitely something I realized, that everybody's got their own take on Frankenstein, because it is such a pop culture phenomenon. You know, somebody may be coming to the table with the Karloff performance in mind. Somebody else may be coming to mind with, you know, the Groovy Ghoulies.
I was struck, I was looking through photos of Frankenstein, and there was Herman Munster, and I'm like, oh wow, Herman Munster looks, I mean, like right next to Karloff's Frankenstein, it's like, okay, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Somebody sat there and said, I want to recreate Jack Bear's makeup, but make it cute.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, horror gets, when it's so far removed from its source, or, you know, it's like 30, 40 years later, a television show, but it's a comedy, so something that terrified the people during the Depression is something that's like kitschy and fun in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting stuff, the way horror does that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, comedy and tragedy, you look at horror and humor, comedy and tragedy, they are really a matter of timing. Mm-hmm. You get up on stage, you're doing a tragedy, it's all about gravitas, it's all about that performance evoking a reality, yet a sadness, and comedy like slip on a banana peel and fall on your ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, Frankenstein starts in 1815. Mm-hmm. It wasn't published until 1818. But in 1815, Mount Tambora near Indonesia erupted, and it kicked so much particulate matter up into the sky that the following year was known as the Year Without a Summer. Mm-hmm. And crops failed everywhere. 65,000 people died in the UK and Ireland as a direct result of just this disastrous climate anomaly. And in 1816, this young, unwed mother on the run and her boyfriend ran off to Switzerland to go hang out with his buddy.
Yeah.
And they sat around and read ghost stories that the world looked like it's coming to an end out the window.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It is so dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can picture Byron and Shelley, you know, training like a couple of roosters and, you know, performing as they, you know, try to write their ghost stories from, you know, the famous ghost story competition. And, you know, they come close to producing something, but they're the ones that don't finish. And, you know, it's Mary's story that comes together from a dream and becomes something eternal. And also we got John Paul Dory's The Vampire out of it, which, you know, for what it is, which is a right mess, it did go on to inspire Dracula. Mm-hmm. And the idea that these iconic monsters are birthed from fancy and represent so much of human nature and so much of human potential and so much of human tragedy, comedy, and, you know, everything else that defines us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting when
someone's circumstances end up like kind of dictating, like, not necessarily what they write, but how they write and such. I mean, they didn't have like anything. I mean, what they had spooky to go off of was old ghost stories and such, and it's like, well, let's do something.
Yeah.
It's like interesting that, you know, everything that was happening in the world is like kind of like synthesized into inspirato for writers in general. It's fascinating stuff for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the world gives us all sorts of material we can get from.
Yeah.
And the magic is in the tapestry you weave from what the world throws at you. Mm-hmm.
Have you read Shelley's The Last Man by any chance?
It is, and it's no Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really neat insight. Frankenstein is her crowning achievement.
Sure.
A lot of her short fiction is very formulaic and is very crafted for the magazines it appeared in. I think it portrays in its male needs a great analog for Percy Shelley and Lord Byron.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the whole preening rooster effect.
Yeah.
But I don't consider it an essential read. It's a philosophical novel. Frankenstein's a philosophical novel, but Frankenstein asks and answers questions in such a gleefully grotesque way. And, you know, I think part of it is the passage of time. I think Mary's attitudes changing as she aged, and to some degree, you know, realize the sadness of her life, losing Percy at such a young age, losing multiple children. You know, again, she's so gone.
Yeah.
And so I think some of the spontaneity of youth is lost in her later work. The 1831 revisions of Frankenstein kind of point that direction.
Yeah.
The cuts are softened. I don't know. Maybe there's just something charming about Mary Shelley the girl compared to Mary Shelley the woman. But that said, in my anthology, Eternal Frankenstein, the closing story is one by David Templeton. He's an author here in Petaluma that I quite admire. He's a playwright, reporter, just a great guy. And I asked him if he'd write a story for the anthology. And he wrote a one-woman stage play, and then turned it into this novella that I kind of closed the book with, and it's lovely. It's Mary Shelley's ghost in her life, and it's heartbreaking. But again, you know, I admire the young Mary Shelley's exuberance for life. And you can see that in one of the earliest works she published was a collaboration with Percy called A History of 6 Weeks Tour. And it's a silly little travelogue of poems and diaries and letters from the road. And again, this is, at the time, 16, 17 years old and just biting off a chunk of life.
Yeah, not too many 16, 17-year-olds doing... Oh, you know what? I shouldn't say that. There's not too many 16 or 17-year-olds doing that these days. I don't know too many 16 or 17-year-olds.
Well, you know, I think we see this in music. I think we see this in film. You know, there's always this next young big thing that's going to just conquer the world. And, you know, humans being humans, we eventually work our way around with them to the VH1 Behind the Music story.
Yes.
You had such potential, and yet, oh, that crash 10 years in.
And then. Mary Shelley. So, question. Frankenstein Eternal's the name of your anthology?
Yeah,
and how long ago did that come out?
So It was initially released in hardcover in 2016.
Yeah.
And again, to mark the anniversary of the Ghost Story contest.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But also knowing that the 200th anniversary of the publication of Frankenstein would be 2 years later in 2018, so that's when we released it as a paperback with a new cover design and got it back out in front of people.
All right. Nice. And who else in that? Is it
All sorts of fun folks. Kind of some of my usual suspects when I put together anthologies. So Edward Morris, Michael Griffin, Scott Jones, Lauren Gray, Anya Martin. But some real fun folks to work with on this one. Amber Rose Reed, she's a really talented Sonoma County author. Savannah Carroll. Autumn Christian, who, if you're not reading Autumn Christian, you really should be.
Okay.
Rhea Delaluz, who's also somebody that really should be on your to-read list. She's amazing. And a lot of other fun folks.
Nice. Do you have any upcoming projects that you'd like to plug? Anything new coming from Word Horde or anything else?
If you're into the King and Yellow mythos, I've got Brian Hauser's Memento Mori, The Fathomless Shadows, about to drop. It is just this great, weird novel, but in the form of a memoir.
Oh, cool.
And a zine and a letter. And so, again, found footage. But it is about the disappearance of Tina Mori, the underground filmmaker who tapped into another realm and disappeared.
Oh, wow. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And then in June, I got Craig Lawrence Gibney's new ghost story, which is called A Spectral Hue. And it's got the purplest cover you will ever see.
Nice.
And it is a really neat story about art and obsession and madness and love and fear and the things that drive us to create art. And I'm really looking forward to folks reading that one.
Nice. So if people want to track you down and find out about this stuff or see pictures of your dog on Instagram, where would people look for you and your where you sell your wares?
Yeah, if you're looking for Word Horde, wordhorde.com, and Word Horde on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Just look up Rob Walker or Lost Rocker.
All right.
I'm not the Canadian preacher. but I'm pretty easy to find out there. I'll steer people towards Word Horde is a great point of contact, and if you are into weird fiction, I do hope you'll check out our books because we have a lot of fun making them.
All right. Yeah, no, I like them. I always like coming by the Word Horde booth over at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in CthulhuCon. So, yeah. Got Word Horde pins.
We're planning to be back this year.
All right. Cool. Hey, Ross, well, thank you so much for talking to me about Frankenstein and Mary Shelley. And, we'll have you on sometime again soon, I'm sure, for something. Because
right.
Fun to talk.
I'm always game to talk to fiction, and it's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Blacklock Audio Tales Supplemental 5, Frankenstein with Ross E. Lockhart. Sorry about the audio. We used a phone and, should have used Skype. All right, lesson learned and... hopefully, we won't have that issue again. Thank you again for listening. Check us out at PGTTCM to find out how to be on one of our shows, whether it be horror shows or a slice of life. Welcome to Portland and eat some snacks with us. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is our monthly guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, where we have guests and we talk about various things about the Cthulhu mythos. This is Blacklock Audio Tales, daily show about spooky stories, gothic horror, traditional folklore, fairy tales, and all that kind of fun jazz. Thank you again. I have been your host and editor, D.B. Spitzer, recorded live in Badger's Drift Studio in beautiful North Portland, Oregon.